If you will, turn tonight, Psalm 36. And I was doing some reading a while back, and I was reading about some early explorers and a fellow named Ponce de Leon, and he was searching for the Fountain of Youth. And they thought it might have been located in the Bahamas. That's where the natives in the Indies and other places thought it was located. And he searched all that area. Of course, he didn't find it. So he came to this country, and he searched all the country of Florida. And if you go to St. Augustine today, you'll find a fountain there that he did find. And that's it. He did not find the Fountain of Youth. And so tonight, I'm preaching on the subject of the Fountain of Youth. And I'll tell you before I start, I found it. And I didn't find it in Florida, incidentally. I don't know if any good thing ever came out of Florida other than Interstate 75, but I do know there's one good thing came out of Georgia, and that's R.C. Cola. Psalm 36, and let's begin in verse 5. He says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast." And if you'll notice, if you'll look back at the title of this, it says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. And this is a servant psalm. It'd do you good to read it every day if you're a servant. And he says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." Let's pray again. Father, thank you again for this time. Now, Lord, I come to you. I have nothing of any value for these people. I'm understanding that. I know without you I can do nothing. Lord, I've prayed, I've studied, I've done all I know to do, and I'm asking you to do something. Lord, you do something supernatural. You do what I cannot possibly do. I pray you'll encourage those that need encouragement, strengthen those that need strength. Lord, uphold the feeble and the weak. Lord, I pray should there be one here tonight lost, God, I ask you to convict them. Don't let them have any rest or peace till they settle this matter with thee. Lord, I'm thankful I found the fountain of life. I'm thankful, Lord, it's real. Lord, all these years it's carried me, and it's all you. Now, Lord, I just pray now you'll do something. Lord, you have your way, but more than anything else, I ask you to exalt and lift up Jesus Christ. I ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. The fountain of life. Boy, I'll tell you, if I don't know anything else, I know this. It's real. Amen. And it gets better and better. I told my wife on the way down here, I said, I'll soon be 63. I'm getting close to that 70. If I got six friends, they may have to carry me to a hole in the ground before the trumpet sounds. I may pick turnips with a stepladder. But if I do, I'll be much better off and I'll be happy. I don't fear that day. Jesus Christ, through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and he delivered them who through all of their lifetime, through fear of death, were subject to bondage. So it's not something we worry about. If it comes, it comes, but I'll still trust him. But I'm preaching on the fountain of youth. Now, in America, there are a lot of fountains that are noteworthy. There's a couple in Chicago. But there's one in particular that people think is probably the greatest, and it's in Cincinnati. If you go to the square there in Cincinnati, you'll see this fountain, and this thing is considered to be one of the finest in the world. And I think at the time it was cast, it cost $200,000. It was made in Munich, Germany. But this fountain had a designer. It didn't just spring up by itself. There was somebody who had an idea, and they put this thing into action, but it had a designer. Somebody made this fountain. And so the fountain of youth that I'm referring to tonight, it had a designer. And so I hope you don't be duped by the educational crowd into thinking that you came from a monkey. Now, if you want to believe that, it's a free country. You can believe anything you want.
Personally, I knew my mom and dad, neither one of them were monkeys. And I don't believe I came from one. I might act like a monkey sometimes, but I didn't come from a monkey. No, sir, and I don't believe you did either. I believe there was a designer. When he said, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, I believe that. I have the same 14 chemical elements in my body that's in the ground. I got to eat something come from the ground to stay alive. And when I die, my body goes back to the dust, just like the book says. I don't know why you'd think it's any different unless you're a college professor with a PhD, which somebody said stands for post hole digger. I don't know if that's true or not, but they'd probably do better digging post holes than they do trying to teach somebody something. Now, I do have evidence that some of my relatives were hung by their neck, but none of them were hung by their tail. The fact is, I knew my mom and dad. I didn't come from a monkey. Now, if you want to believe that, when you die, you'll go where the good monkeys go, and when I die, I'll go where the saved sinners go. Amen. That's right. And so we'll weigh it out in the end. But tonight, the fountain of youth, this fountain, let me say first of all, it flows from God Almighty Himself. And this fountain that I'm referring to is not a physical drink of water. I'm referring to a man in particular. And that man in particular is the fountain of life. Now, I'm glad I met him. I don't know about you. Some of us guys, we lived like the devil for a lot of years. We came out of the sewer. I mean, there's people sitting in here that were addicted. There are people sitting in here that had all kinds of hardships and troubles. And suddenly, boy, some of them in a jailhouse, some of them on a street corner, some of them in a home, some of them in an automobile. There's people with all kinds of testimonies, but somewhere along the way, they drank deep from the well that never runs dry. Hey, they got a life-changing experience. They didn't get it from the world's fountain. You can't find it there. Hey, bud, don't make you wiser. Absolutely not. You'll make a fool out of yourself. You drank from the world's fountain, I tell you what you'll get. All that comes out of that thing is depression and destruction and addiction and heartaches and headaches and body aches and broken homes and ruined kids and all of the damnable destruction that comes with it. But I'm telling you tonight, hey, Jesus Christ is the fountain of life. Hey, He's the fountain of youth. Amen. I promise you, you trust Him tonight, you'll never get over it. You'll never be sorry. You'll get plugged into something real. Hey, it's carried me for 39 solid years. I ain't never got tired. Ain't never got wore out. I got bad knees. Hey, if my knees allowed, I'd take a running fit right now. I get excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. I can't sit around with a face long enough to put a bridle on. Look like a horse eating corn out of a bottom of a rain barrel. Hey, I ain't got a rod down my back where I got to sit around stiff with my arms crossed, look like a tree full of owls, saying, bless me if you can. Hey, you ought to get excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of you young folks sitting here, you ought to raise your hand every now and then and say, hey, thank God I'm saved. Amen. Why, some of you young folks got a Christian home. You'd somebody trying to raise you right and teach you right and lead you in the right direction. Hey, they're saving you from a lot of heartache, a lot of backaches, hey, a lot of body aches. You ought to thank God for them. Amen. I grew up with a dad that was a drunkard. I learned to play football, jumping fences, and dodging buckshot after dark. My dad would get drunk, get his shotgun, and begin to shoot at us. So I picked up some moves pretty quick. Some of y'all sitting here got a good home. You ought to thank God for it. I'll tell you, not everybody has that. But this fountain flows from God Almighty. Now, I'll try to calm down here and behave myself. I usually don't. But I get excited about Jesus Christ. Israel had the same problem America's got. Jeremiah chapter 2 says this, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. And brother, that's where the world's at today. They're searching for peace, and they're searching for comfort, and they're searching for satisfaction, and they're trying to drown themselves in a bottle of liquor or a pain pill or God knows what, and they cannot find peace for their soul because they're looking in the wrong place. They're drinking from the wrong fountain. Hey, a fountain can't send forth sweet water and bitter at the same place. And the world's fountain is nothing but bitter water. It'll not satisfy the lust in your soul because God created man to fellowship with Him and glorify Him. And if you're not on that track, you're drinking from the wrong fountain. Well, there's a lot of God's people drinking from the wrong fountain. You'll find that out when this vote by the liquor of the drink goes through out here. The only way it can happen is if a lot of professing Christians vote for it. That's a fact, brother. A bunch of pot-bellied, log-headed liquorheads. And they profess to be saved. Maybe they are. I don't know. I won't judge them. I can't see their heart. But I know this. If they are, they're pretty sorry individuals. Hey, they'd damn this whole county for a dollar. You better believe it. The love of money is still the root of all evil. Well, this fountain flows from God Almighty. In fact, it's God Almighty Himself. Amen. There are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as the Son, as the Father. Now, I can't explain that any better than that. I mean, you got God the Father, He's the soul. You got God the Son, He's the body. You got God the Holy Ghost, He's the Spirit. I mean, man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. I'm a Trinity like God's a Trinity. But until I was saved, there was part of me missing. I was a flat tire, boy. I had a living body and a living soul, but I had no breath of God in me. I was dead in trespasses and sin, alone in the world, without God, without Christ, without hope. Hey, forlorn sound, I was lost. Well, boy, I tell you, 39 years ago, I sat in the back of a church house. I was lost with a burden of sin on me. And I thought if that preacher didn't shut up and give me a chance to get to the altar, I was going to die. And finally he said, anybody want to get saved? I didn't look around to see if there's anybody to refer the message to. I got down the aisle. I knelt down right over here. Hey, it's a funeral home over there now. It used to be a church. It's probably as lively now as it was then. But I knelt down over here. Hey, and I drank deep from the well that never runs dry. Boy, I come up from there. I was a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. I can't explain it any better, but I know it works. I know it works, young people. I tried everything the world had. I drank from the world's fountain. I did everything they said to do to enjoy life, to be prosperous, to have pleasure, to have fun. And I was as miserable as a poison dog. The world's fountain will ruin you. It'll destroy you. But I'm telling you, when I met Jesus Christ, I got plugged in. I'm going to throw this thing here in a minute. I got excited. I got fired up. Hey, I went home. I got on the phone. I called everybody I knew and said, hey, guess what? I got saved. I went to work the next day. I got walked around everybody I worked with. I said, hey, guess what? I got saved. I met Jesus Christ. I got saved. Hey, I started going all around, going in beer joints, passing out gospel tracts. I started stopping in grocery stores, passing out gospel tracts. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do stuff like that. I didn't know you were supposed to do stuff like that. I thought, man, I've got real life. I've got something real. I can't keep it to myself. I got to tell somebody. Then I started doing crazy stuff. I started standing on a creek corner. Man, the cars come by and I'd be preaching at them. They said, you can't do that. That's against the law. I said, well, the law needs to change, yeah. Hey, 36 years later, I'm still doing it. And they still don't like it any better now than they did then. But it's right and it's real. Hey, it's worth sticking your neck out. We're to go without the camp bearing his reproach. Too many of God's people want to lock it up inside the four walls and say, you know, come on in, we're here. And God says, take it to the highways, the hedges, the streets, the lanes of the city. Go door to door. Go house to house. Preach it publicly. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Well, I'll make a Baptist shout tonight. Amen. Well, you pardon me. Bad knees and all. I'm going to take a running fit anyhow. Now, you may have to help me back, but I'll get down there. Hey, the Lord called me to preach. One place that had me is all these country churches didn't have no better sense. mean, you come in with a Bible, they'd say, "Are you got the message?" They figure you come to church with a Bible, you're a preacher. Because nobody brought a Bible. So really, you could just preach and you didn't have to know nothing. Just preach, man. That's pretty good for me. I didn't know nothing. I mean, honestly, folks, I graduated high school, but me and the Lord knows how I did it, and I ain't going to tell. But you think, man, here's a guy that was just mean as the devil and lived like the devil, and suddenly God called him to preach. Man, you talk about scared to death. But I wanted to do it. I wanted to. I had a desire in my soul to preach. I didn't know how. I didn't know any preachers before God saved me. Only preacher I ever heard of him. He was a bigger drunk than I was, so I don't know what kind of preacher he was, but I didn't know what a preacher was or supposed to be or how he's supposed to act or anything else. So I just started reading the Bible and preaching. I still do that today. I do it just like the Bible says it. I mean, rear back, let her rip, brother. Hey, every preacher in this New Testament preached in the street. You name me one that didn't. Every one of them preached out in the street. This thing as church buildings didn't even come into being until nearly 200 years after the close of the New Testament. And I'm telling you, we got it backwards today. We're to be going after sinners, amen. I don't care what these other churches do or don't do. They can talk about us if they want. We're going to preach in the street. That's right. I know that's right. I got guys sitting back here testifying to that. That's right. This fountain comes from heaven. That's the designer. It bears Almighty God's design. This is the Lamb that was slain. Now catch it. From the foundation of the world. Now if you hear a guy say before the foundation of the world, you better be checking that bird out. Because he's lying. He's like the Pharisees were when they were trying to trap Christ in his words. He's a liar. And this Bible says, who's a liar from the beginning? It's the devil. And so a man that's lying, you know where he's getting his lie from. And our job is to preach the truth. And we're to rebuke them sharply and we're to rebuke them publicly. And I realize that goes against the grain terribly to some of y'all to get in an argument with somebody over this stuff. But have at it. I don't expect you to be anything you're not, but I refuse to allow these birds to get up publicly and lie and not rebuke them for it. Amen. That's right. You listen to my radio program, you'll hear it. Now, I preach it on the radio, I'm paying for it. I say what I want. I'm in my pulpit. Now, when I'm in another man's pulpit, I try to behave myself. I'm a guest, you understand. And Dilbert has to stand good for all this, so I'll try to be careful. I said I'll try to be. But I'm just glad to be saved, aren't you? I'm not mad at you. Some of y'all looking around, I'm not mad at you. I'm not your enemy. I'm really not. I'm not going to do like Nehemiah and run out and snatch your beard out and slap you. And you know, sometimes I'd like to. You're just not allowed to do that. But I'm really not your enemy. People think because, you know, we yell and we beat and we get fired up, they think we're mad at them. And I'm not mad at anybody but the devil. So this fountain has a designer. It's God's design. And the Lord said, I'll give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And that's interpreted in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, as being God with us. And I'm glad that came true. God supernaturally injected himself into his creation. Now, you know, Job had an argument. You read the book of Job. Job had an argument with God. And Job said, you're a spirit. How can you know how I feel being flesh and blood? And he had a point. But a few hundred, maybe a few thousand years later, God interjected himself into his creation and took upon himself human flesh and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And this Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So he knows how we feel.
We can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Don't matter what you're facing, He faced it. He faced the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He faced every temptation you're going to face, and He conquered it through the Word of God and prayer. If you got no prayer life, you're fair game to fall. If you don't know the Word of God, you're fair game to fall. I'm telling you, we ought to be students of the Word of God. Everybody sitting in here, from the least to the biggest, every one of you ought to know enough about this book to correct these fakers when they start flapping their jaws and pouring out these cults' lies. And I'm telling you, lay it out like it is. Amen. I'm telling you, one day after a while, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give account individually. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Mom and Dad can't help you then. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa can't help you then. It's you and God and your record, and He don't make no mistakes. And He don't trump up no charges. He'll lay it all out. And I'm telling you, if you live for Him and honor Him, in spite of what people think, they'll talk about you. They'll lie on you. Hey, I've been through all that for a lot of years. I've had everything told on me. I reckon the only thing I ain't done is commit murder. And I'm sure I'm plotting that. Now, if some guy jumped over the fence at the White House, I'd like to have been there. But you think about it. I mean, your reputation, I mean, we worry more about what people think about us than we do what God thinks about us. Well, that's a shame. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. But this thing bears God Almighty's design. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him is life. And that life is the light of men. That's where it's at. It's not in the world. The world is searching for the fountain of youth. Why, man, some of these old Hollywood starlets, they ought to call them harlots. They've had so many facelifts, their belly button's up under their chin. And they're doing it trying to stay young. I mean, you look at them. They're made out of plastic. And saline solutions and God knows what. I mean, they're fake. And I mean, you watch all, oh, they doll them up, they put them on, you know, the camera, and they got just the right angle, and they're all messed up and just dressed just right. And boy, they look so fine. I mean, I saw a hamburger commercial the other day. I wanted to run out and buy a hamburger, man. Some Texas girl, she'd been out in the mud. And, oh, great googly moogly. If they can deliver that with hamburgers, I'm going for one. Don't believe it. It's a joke. But I mean, that's the way Hollywood is. I'll tell you right now, you ladies sitting in here that love God, that are saved, and you dress decent, and you talk decent, and you got a good moral standard, you're of immense more value than any of that trash in Hollywood. I don't care if they got an eight-figure income. They said Tom Brady's wife makes $120-something thousand dollars a minute. I don't know if that's true. She's a super model. She's a super hag. Tom Brady's a jerk. Hey, I'm telling you sitting right here, you Christian young men and young ladies that are trying to do something for God are of immense more value than that trash. I don't care what Joel Osteen says, you may not be rich in this world, but you can be rich in the next. Brother, if you lay up treasure in heaven and you dedicate your life to Him, that psalm I read is the psalm of a servant. And if you'll serve Him, He's a good paymaster. I've never, no matter what the situation, and my wife can testify to it, we've never missed a meal since God saved me. I've worked jobs I didn't necessarily like. I put up 16 years in the coal mines. I pumped gas. I've done a little bit of everything. But I've never missed a meal. I've always been able and willing, and God's always provided something. And it may have not been the finest and the highest and, you know, the most recognition and all that junk. I was willing to shovel manure if that's what it took. But God always provided. And the devil, I'll tell you what the devil will do. He'll use you up. He'll waste you. He'll wear you out. And when it gets done, he'll kick you over in a heap. But I'm glad tonight I know the junk specialist. He'll come along. He'll pull you out of the garbage heap. He'll clean you up. He'll wash you in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hey, he'll make you fit for the vestibule of heaven. Amen. You pardon me. I'm about to get excited. I'm going to start walking on the seats here in a minute. Oh, it's good to be saved. Amen.
Why, you pardon me. We ought to just take a time out here, call time out, and everybody do a rapture deal and run around the building. Shout a while, amen. Now, I know we're not Pentecostals, but why should they have all the fun? Amen. Its source is inexhaustible. Jesus Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself. Now, if the Spirit's eternal, and what I'm talking about, this living water, you'll see in a minute if I ever get to it. I might not. The Holy Spirit is that water. The living water. And boy, I tell you, when you come to Christ, he'll put his Spirit within you where you can't lose it, thank God. And he'll fill you up as often as you need it. There is no command in the Bible to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. No, sir. But there is one to be filled. You get baptized when you get saved. 1 Corinthians 12:13. But you can be filled as often as needed. Are you hungry tonight? Are you thirsty tonight for the things of God? Man, God's willing to load your wagon, baby. Are you thirsty? Well, man, too many people are thirsting after the world's water and they're not getting satisfied. Why do you think Elvis peeled himself out? I mean, he saw all them ships coming in. He'd loaded and coming back and he was fixing to reap what he'd sown. I mean, old Judy Garland, you remember her, somewhere over the rainbow? She didn't have nothing to live for. Doped herself into eternity. I mean, Whitney Houston. Great singer, everybody said. Doped herself. Didn't have anything to live for. Had to peel up to get up. Had to peel up to stay up. Had to peel up to go to bed. Had to stay high day in and day out to try to survive because they had nothing to live for. But I'm telling you, the well never runs dry. And that living water flows abundantly. And I'm glad, thank God, tonight it's not like John Calvin said it. Hey, he came into this world to save sinners. Amen. Are there any sinners in here tonight? Amen. I'm glad, thank God, there's some living water. Faithful, saved, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Amen. That's me and all of my kin folks too. The reservoir is in heaven. In a natural fountain, you have a gigantic reservoir, a pool of water, and then that water is forced underground to where the fountain is. And the weight of that water is what forces it out. Now, if it's man-made, it'll have a pump. And if a man made it, it's no good. But what God made will stand. The reservoir's in heaven. And the fountain's here. And you can get your hands on it. Old Cooper wrote, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, they lose all their guilty stains." Well, I tell you, it works. It works. If you're sitting in there tonight and you think I'm lying, just look around. You want to see the proof? You're looking at it. Brother, it works. There's people sitting here from all backgrounds and all walks and all educational backgrounds. And I mean, there's folks in here that's got so many degrees, I wouldn't know where to start. I mean, you'd think they were a thermometer or something. I knew a guy once, he was so skinny, if he drank red Kool-Aid, he'd look like a thermometer. I hope there ain't nobody like that tonight. But I mean, how do we get along? There's one Spirit. Well, you pardon me, but that Holy Spirit in us, man, when the truth is being preached, it'll just ring true in here, boy. And you, yeah, man. Yeah, that's where it's at. There was a fellow, he was an early explorer in the country of Australia. And as he was there, he got into the waste howling wilderness and he ran out of water. And when they came along later and found his body, they found his empty water bottle beside of him. And in his empty water bottle, he had scratched these words, "My eye dazzles, my tongue burns, and I'm lost for want of water." Brother, that's a picture of this world. They are searching high and low. They're looking everywhere to try to find peace for their soul. And they're lost for the want of water. The woman at the well said, "Sir, give me this water that I don't have to come here to to draw, that I don't thirst not. I want it. Give it to me. And Jesus Christ himself put it like this: I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And I know where the fountain of youth is. I found it. Well, maybe better yet, it found me. Paul said, after we have known God, or known of God, we were a blank page before we come to Christ. Isn't that the truth? I mean, this world, everybody gets such a high estimation of themselves. And as far as God's concerned, they're just a blank page. Well, if you're saved tonight, you're a part of His body. Soon to be a part of His bride. I'll get to that too, maybe, Lord willing. But it all begins and ends with Jesus Christ. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. It all begins and ends with Him. In Him is life. Do you have life tonight? Boy, are you thirsty? Well, I tell you, if you're looking for something real, we can take this Bible and show you something real. And we won't leave it to conjecture. No, sir. We'll show you from the eternal words of the living God. And you don't make no mistakes that way. Well, I'm going to move on. Let me say secondly, this fountain not only flows from God, this fountain is built on truth and not beauty. Now you think about it. The world puts a lot of premium on looks, don't they? Now, I'm thankful, ladies, tonight. Really, I am. I'm thankful that you ladies take time to, you know, put on makeup and dress nice and wear nice clothes. And I personally am thankful for that. I mean, there ain't no need in looking like, you know, the north end of Southbound Mule just to prove a point. I mean, really, I'm glad for makeup and all that stuff. I am. I mean, really. Some of these, well, I won't get into that. Forget it. But it's a blessing. But the world puts a big premium on that, don't they? I mean, you got people, I mean, you don't put all that junk on your face and pickles on your eyes and all that junk, you know. My land of Goshen. But I mean, really, the world puts a premium on that. We think we got to look like, you know, some of these stars you see on TV. I think a godly woman that's saved and filled with the Spirit of God is very attractive. And she don't have to dress, you know, like she's got enough clothes on to make a pair of breeches for a blue jay to display it. But this fountain is built on truth and not beauty. And I'll explain that. I know in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, the earthly description of Jesus Christ, he was a Jew. Now, he looked nothing like these pictures you see that were painted by Roman Catholics, where he's a red-haired, green-eyed Irishman. That's not him. He was a Jew, and he looked like a Jew, for salvation is of the Jews. This book we got is a Jewish book. It's got 40 authors written on three different continents, some of them 1,500 years apart. None of them saw what the other one was writing, but they all come together and agree in one book. Only God could accomplish that, and he did it with the Jewish people. So we owe the Jewish people a debt, because Christ came through that nation. And the book of God came from that nation. I realize it came to England, and we have an English Bible. But you think about it. If you don't have an English Bible, you ain't got the right Bible. I'll tell you why. Absolute time and absolute location is found in Greenwich, England at the observatory. And absolute truth is English truth, the King's English, 1611, King James Bible. And if you don't have that book, you don't have the right book. Amen. And you'd do better to take that thing you got, put it in the wood stove and burn it, and go buy you a King James Bible and get you a Bible education. Amen. You're welcome. That didn't cost you nothing. I just threw that in there. But I'll tell you, when God saved me, you know how I knew absolutely nothing about anything. I couldn't quote John 3:16. Hey, pardon me. I'm enjoying myself. And I'm going to preach till I'm done, so y'all just rear back and relax. But I got saved, and I had a King James Bible that a church had given me back in 1961. Now, I made a profession at that time, but I didn't get saved simply because I didn't understand how, and nobody bothered to take a Bible and explain it. And so I went away empty, lost, and they baptized me, and I went on my way. And I was so stupid. When I went in the Army, they asked me, "What's your religion?" I said, "Oh, I'm a Baptist." I wouldn't know the Baptist from a Catholic, you know. But when the Lord saved me, I kept that Bible, incidentally. You can't throw a Bible away. And the Lord saved me. I got that old King James Bible out. And I was sitting in a church, and it's nothing against those folks. They're good people, and I love them. God knows my heart. I've got no animosity toward any of them. They're doing what they thought was right and what they believed to be true and what they were taught. And so I'm not throwing any stones at the folks. But what I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit showed me this King James Bible is the Word of God. I didn't have Dr. Smellfungus tell me that. I didn't read three books by somebody. I was sitting in a Sunday school class, and you had Sunday school literature with four different translations of the Scripture, whatever you were studying right here in the quarterly, and then everybody in the room had a different translation of the Bible, and so they go around the room and read these different translations, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, it's like reading a funny book or a comic book or something. And then I'd get to me, and I'd have to read, and I'd fire up that old King James Bible, and the Holy Spirit was all over me, and I had goosebumps running up and down my back and down my sleeves, and the hair was standing up on the back of my neck, and man, I was getting filled with the Spirit, and I was about to get rabbit in my feet and start jumping up on the table and preaching. I didn't even know God was going to call me to preach. But man, the Holy Spirit began to ring the bell and bear witness to that book, that that's His book, that He wrote it, and I've never got away from that. I've stuck to it. Thank God today I did. Hey, I've read since that time. I've studied manuscript evidence. I've studied Hebrew history. I've studied all the material in line with the King James Bible. I know what I believe. I know why I believe it. I can turn and show you. I've read everything you've read and a whole lot you ain't. And I'm telling you, God's book is this authorized version of 1611. And if you don't believe that, go stick your head in a Winnie roaster. Amen. I love you. I'll just tell you the truth. Well, some of them doctors that write that garbage, they could rip their head out for a vacuum cleaner. Amen. Yes, it's built on truth and not beauty. Isaiah 52 says this, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. As many were astonished, petrified at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The first time he came, he was not a thing of beauty. He came through the back door of this world so you and I can go through the front door of heaven. Well, you pardon me. He always would condescend, wouldn't he? He condescended down to us to save us. Isn't that the truth? He had to come down to this sin-cursed earth and live like we live, 18 years as a carpenter with hand tools. You think he didn't know what hard work was all about? And I'll bet you money, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, but if I were, I'd bet you the furniture he made was the best in the country. I don't think he done any junk. I don't think he was lazy. I think he worked. I think he held his end of the bargain up. Some of y'all need to learn that. Some of y'all go on the job. You better be the best worker there. You better have a good testimony. If they don't like you witnessing, if they don't like you talking about Jesus Christ, they better not be able to point at you and say you're a lazy rascal and believe it and mean it. Whatever they think of you, they ought to say, I don't know about all that Christian stuff, but that guy is a dandy worker, amen. Jesus Christ was not lazy, amen. But he came through the back door of this world so we could go through the front door of heaven, amen. I'm glad he did. The first time he came, it was a crown of thorns, stripes, mockery, nails in his hands and his feet. There was nothing beautifying about that. As far as the world was concerned, I mean, here was a blasphemer. They were getting rid of this terrible religious man that was trying to turn the world upside down. Boy, isn't that a charge. Pilate, the governor, the judge, said, I find no fault in him three times and then condemned him to death. Boy, how'd you like to be in front of a judge like that? And yet, it was prophesied that he'd have no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The first time he came to go to the cross. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. And they said, well, man, you ain't 40 years old. You telling me you seen Abraham? And he said, poor Abraham was, I am. They understood what he was saying. They understood he was making himself God. Well, he had the privilege. He was God. And so, the first time he came, there was nothing. If you look at that tabernacle in the layout, and I'll be done here in a few minutes, just bear with me. They set that tabernacle up in the wilderness. If you walk by that thing, it wasn't much to look at, I'll tell you. You read the description. That thing wasn't much to look at. Walking by there and looking at that thing, you would have never thought that back inside there somewhere was the creator of the universe, the living God. Well, folks look at us, they don't realize who's inside here, and it's the creator of the universe. Well, listen, folks, as long as your head is above water, you can't drown, amen. And we're seated together in Christ in heavenly places, amen. So we just carry on. But the second time, when he comes. Now, to you and I, even with nails, he's altogether lovely. But after the church is without spot and without wrinkle, after we've been through the judgment seat of Christ, and all of that's out of the way, after all of that's settled, the Bible says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And the wife, the church, the bride, the judgment is settled. All accounts have been taken care of. And yonder in heaven is the marriage of the Lamb. But I'm glad, thank God, there's coming the supper, which will take place on this earth. And then we're going to have a 1,000-year honeymoon with Jesus Christ. Well, you pardon me. Some of you ladies, you might not even got a honeymoon. If you did, it probably didn't last nearly as long. But you think about that. 1,000 years, boy, we're going to be with him as the bride. And the second time he comes, he'll be beautiful. He'll be altogether lovely. Amen. And the Bible says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And this Bible says, he on his head were many crowns. Boy, they'll bring forth the royal diadem and they'll crown him Lord of all. And I'll be there when it happens. And it's all because I drank deep from that fountain that never runs dry. Jesus Christ. It's all because of him. Every bit of it depends on him. Amen. Thank God. His name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want to say youth is restored at the fountain. Now think about that. You're looking at me. I'm an old geezer. Man, I'm nearly 63 years old. I'm an old geezer. I really am. I enjoy it. I mean, I can't hear, can't see. That's a blessing, though. I mean, most of the time when people's talking, I don't know what they're saying. They be calling me ugly names. And, you know, I just smile. And, you know. Hey, you're such an idiot. Now, oh, yeah, thank you. What a blessing, you know. If I could hear, I'd get mad. But Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You say, well, what's that got to do with the fountain of youth? Well, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Ghost. When you come to Christ, you get the Spirit of the living God in you. Now you think about it. When Jesus Christ walked this earth during his public ministry, he was 33 and a half years old when they nailed him up. He came up from the dead. Now according to Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, and I won't take time to read it, but according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, when he comes again, you and I are going to be just like him. We're going to be in the prime of youth forever. Now you think about that. I'm getting older. Man, my knees are bad. I'm wearing out.
was at work the other day, and there's a whole bunch of guys in, and there's this one engineer. We all like to tease him and aggravate him. He went to the truck show, and his name is Brian, and they misspelled his name on his name tag, and it said Brain. And so I call him Brain all the time. And this guy from Canada named Frenchie, he speaks better French than English. He's in there, and every time I see him, he'll say, "How you doing?" I can't understand him. I can't hear. And this guy talks French more than English, and he's standing there, and he says, "How you doing?" And Brain's standing here, and I said, "Well, according to Charlie Darwin, I'm getting better and better." And I said, "In a couple of years, I'm going to look like Fabio." And he looked around at Brain and said, "He looked like Boy George."
Well, I'm glad tonight, thank God, we're all going to look like Jesus Christ. During the millennium, salvation is by sight, brother. You think about it. There's going to be, I don't know, untold millions of replicas of Jesus Christ all over this earth. And if you've been faithful, you're going to be ruler over so many cities, according to Luke chapter 19. And all anybody has to do if they want to see the Savior is just look. And during that time, if a man wants to preach, his own mother and father will put the smack down on him. There'll be no preaching during that time. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Hey, Jesus Christ will be exalted to His proper place. I say down with the newspapers, down with ESPN, down with football, down with Fox News, down with this world, and up with Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You pardon me. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout tonight. Ever since the Lord saved me, I've been singing, "Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise." Well, I tell you, you can't outgive God. He is a good God. And He will deliver. Now, He'll do it on His own time scale, but He'll deliver. He never fails. He's God. And He's my God. Now, I hope you know Him tonight. If you don't, I'd be glad to introduce you. There was a fellow in this country. He was a very, very rich man, kind of like Bill Gates. And this man, everybody was envious of this guy because it just seemed like he had the Midas touch. But when this guy was laying on his deathbed, he turned to the nurse there and he said, "I am the most miserable devil on this earth." He said, "Riches do not satisfy. And you drink from the world's fountain, and that's where you'll wind up. You'll wind up at the end of the road saying, 'Boy, I blew it. I wasted my life. I threw it away. I was seeking fame, fortune, and riches, and I was seeking it in the wrong place.'" Well, let me say thirdly, and I'm about done. I promise I'll hurry. I'm skipping over a lot of my message. I could preach for 3 more hours. Now, I'm a street preacher. I'm accustomed to that. I like preaching in the street. I do. I enjoy it. When I get out there, it's always nervous and scary, man, but once the first shot's fired, I can just relax and just preach, boy, and I enjoy it. I love to have these guys walk right by and just look them right in the eye and say, "Man, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell and fry like a grease ball." Well, you wake them up. I mean, before I was saved, if somebody would have pulled that on me, why, man, I would have swallowed my Marlboro. Some of you fellas right now got zombie jaw. That's right. I want to say thirdly, this fountain flows with living water. I read it in John chapter 7. The question, I guess, then is really, are you thirsty? David said, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." That's what human beings are thirsty for, whether they realize it or not. This lost world is blinded by the god of this world, and they're seeking for satisfaction everywhere except in the right place. And like Jesus asked the man at the well, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to get right? Do you want to be plugged in? Do you want to have that thirst satisfied? Oh, listen, I'll tell you. You'll be glad you did. You can wash and be clean at this fountain. Zechariah 13:1. Isaiah chapter 1 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool." You can come to the fountain. You can get cleaned up. Even if you're saved and you mess up and you stumble and fall, you can get cleaned up. Amen. If you stumbled and fell into the hog pen and you're ready to eat the huff that the swine are eating, and you come to yourself and you say, "Man, I need to go back to the Father's house." Hey, I'll tell you tonight, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. And I'm glad tonight I've got a bunch of relatives sitting in here. We're related by blood, and that blood is the blood of God's only begotten Son, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Amen. This is my family. Hey, you just well love me. If you're going to heaven, I'm going. It's already decided. Ain't no need getting mad at me. I'm going. You're going to have to live with me from now on. Amen. Now, if I can put up with you, you can put up with me. That's right. That blood redeems. That blood atones. That blood cleanses. That blood purges. That blood justifies. That blood saves. It'll never lose its power. Sinners are saved at this fountain. Anybody thirsty tonight? Any sinners in here that are thirsty? Souls are refreshed. You got a need tonight? I don't care what it is. I know where you'll find the answer for it. You'll find it at the fountain. Mercy, grace, and truth flow at this fountain. Psalm 85:10. I'm just skipping through this. I'm trying to wrap this up. I realize it's time to shut up. Thirst are satisfied at this fountain. Fellowship restored. Lives changed. Families put back together. Well, I tell you, it works. It works. I heard some old woman singing a song, and I had my wife see if she could find this thing, and I kind of rewrote it myself, but she was singing, "There is no other fountain where I can be satisfied." And I kind of rewrote it to suit myself, but that's really the truth. There is no other fountain where you can have your soul satisfied. And you'll never be happy, not lasting happiness, dealing around with the world and their water. Jesus Christ is water to the thirsty. He's the answer, no matter what the question. Will you bow your heads? Now I'm done. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. I appreciate you putting